My goodness, I love baptism services, don't you? Can we do it next week? That was fantastic. It's lovely to see you all. In case you haven't been warned, baptism services sometimes go on a little bit longer than the advertised normal finishing time, so please bear with us. My name's Paul. I'm one of the ministers here, and it's a real pleasure to be speaking today, having been a part of those three baptisms. Wonderful, you guys. Absolutely brilliant. Is Hannah back in yet? Oh, well, hopefully she'll catch up with us in a few minutes. Somewhere around 25 years ago, I made a firm decision. I decided that I was going to write a book. And I had a couple of different ideas in my head. They'd been going around for a while, and I decided that it was time to give it a crack. I was going to have a go at it and just see what happened, see whether it worked or not. I even wrote the opening sentence of my first novel. Somewhere around 15 years ago, the idea came back, and in a slightly different way, and I thought, again, I really would like to write a book, so maybe I ought to give it a go. And I actually wrote, 15 years ago, the first chapter of a Christian book that I was going to write. I was going to write a book about all-age worship, believe it or not. I wrote chapter one. 15 years later, I still haven't written chapter two. But I'll get around to it. The truth is that I have dozens of unfinished and unstarted, in some cases, projects. Things that I've decided that I will get around to one day. Because I am the world's worst procrastinator. And I come from a long line of procrastinators. Actually, that's not entirely true. I come in the middle of a short line of procrastinators, is the real truth. My dad is the most practical man I know. For most of my life, he would take it as a personal affront if anybody other than him opened a toolbox in his house. When it came to plumbing, when it came to woodwork, when it came to decorating, when it came to car maintenance, he would do it himself. Not always very quickly, but he would do it himself. I was probably about 4 years old when I was allowed up into our loft at home. And up in the loft, I saw an interesting looking cardboard box full of interesting looking things. There were multicoloured wires and various switches and things, and a bright blue box with a light on top, a bit like a police car. And at 4 years old, I said to my dad, "Dad, what is that?" And Dad said, "Well, son," actually Dad never said "well, son," but it sounds better if I say it that way, "Well, son, that's our burglar alarm." And at 4 years old, that seemed quite reasonable. Burglar alarms were quite clearly cardboard boxes full of components, and that seemed perfectly sensible to me. By the time I was 10 years old, I'd started to smell a rat. And the next time I went up into the loft, I said to my dad, "Don't you need to do something with all the things in that box before they become a burglar alarm?" And he said, "I'll get around to it." When I was 16, we came back from a family holiday and the house had been broken into and we'd been robbed and we'd lost all sorts of things. And within a month, that box came down from the loft and the wires got connected and we had a burglar alarm. And I'm not getting at my dad, because the honest truth is I know that I do exactly the same thing. I'll get around to it. And we've got a teenage daughter, and there are regular conversations that include the phrase, "I'll get around to it, Dad." And maybe I should be a little bit more understanding with her, because the truth is she comes from a long line of procrastinators. And we're about to meet another procrastinator in our Bible reading this morning. One of the things I love about Jesus is he could be really quite politically incorrect. He could be quite blunt. He just spoke as he saw. Listen to the way that he spoke to this man in Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me. And let the dead bury their own dead." I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. I'd believed in God all of my life. I'd grown up believing in God, but I was 17 before I did anything about it and made a clear decision that changed my life when I decided to follow Jesus. And when I made that decision, I had a couple of good friends who were Christians, and they gave me a Bible, and they gave me some reading notes, which basically told me a passage to read out of the Bible each day. And I remember going through the Bible, following those reading notes, and coming to this passage and thinking, whoa, Jesus, no, you can't talk to that man like that. I mean, that's mean. That's just unkind. You can't be like that with this poor man. He's just lost his father. And all he wants to do is to go home and organise a funeral. I mean, that's hardly unreasonable, is it? How can you be so unkind to this man? And this is one of those occasions when knowing just a little bit about the culture in Jesus' time helps us a lot when it comes to understanding what was going on. Back in those days, when somebody died, they were actually buried nearly always the very same day. And it would have been unthinkable during that day for the son to be anywhere other than at home mourning with his family. And so what I thought was going on when I first read this passage was not what was going on. And there are two possibilities. One is that some Jewish people in those times, they had a practice where a year after a funeral, they would take the bones of the person that had passed away and they would rebury them. And it could have been that this happened during that year. But actually, far more likely is that the man's father was still alive and well. And what he was saying is, I want to go home for now, and sometime in the future, when my parents have gone and I don't know, fulfilled my responsibilities, secured my inheritance, whatever it was, then I will think about following you, Jesus. In other words, what he was saying to Jesus was, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. Have you ever noticed how the demanding things in life have the ability to squeeze out the truly significant things in life? Have you ever noticed that? Seems to be a rule of life that there are things that are really, really important, you know, in a deep, life-changing way important. And there are things in life that are urgent, and they are almost never the same thing. It's true when couples get married. Most couples spend 10 times longer discussing what colour the decorations are going to be on their wedding day than they spend discussing how they're going to handle finances and how they're going to cope when they fall out and have a row. The urgent squeezes out the important. It happens when you have that long overdue catch-up with a friend that you really care about or a family member that you haven't seen for months, or let's face it, after the 2 years we've had, quite possibly years, and you finally get to spend some quality time with somebody who really matters to you, and your phone buzzes. And who knows? It's just possible that somebody on Facebook has tagged you in a meme. And the urgent squeezes out the really important. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that does that. Don't do that to me. And we do that with spiritual things as well. You might be a committed Christian, or you might be like I was for 17 years of my life. You believe in God, and you think there's probably something out there, but you've not yet investigated it for yourself and really found out to the point that you're sure. You might be somebody who has loads and loads of questions about spiritual things and about God and about this whole faith thing. Or you might be someone who feels pretty sure that you don't believe any of it. Here's something that I think we can all agree on. If God is real, if there is a creator God who designed and made this entire universe, who designed and made you as an individual, and if He loved you and cared for you and has plans and desires for your life, and if He was actively trying to steer the path of your life away from paths that would do you harm and cause you hurt, and towards paths that would lead you to living life in the to the full in the way that he wants for you. And if he sent his son, Jesus, to live as the perfect human being and to show us how to live our lives in connection with that God who made us, and if that Jesus died on the cross, taking with him all the baggage of everything we've ever done wrong and everything that prevents us from having a close relationship with God, and if he rose from the dead 2 days later with the news that because of his death and resurrection, the human race can be set free from everything that suffocates our relationship with God, and if that Jesus extended an invitation to you and said, follow me, that would be the most important fact in the universe. If that were true, it would be the most important fact in the universe and the most important fact in your life. More important than what job you get, more important than who you marry, more important than the size of your pay packet, more important than who wins the cup or what grades you get or who wins the next election or anything else. If that was true, it would be literally a matter of eternal importance. Of course, if it isn't true, it's all trivial and irrelevant. But if you can see even the slightest glimmer of possibility that it might be true, then finding out enough to make your own mind up in the way that these three guys who have stood up here and talked about their faith have made their minds up just might be the most significant thing you ever do. You see, there are people that have gone looking and found out and made their minds up and made a wholehearted decision to follow Jesus. And we've heard from three of them today, and it's been wonderful, hasn't it, to hear their stories, to hear the journey that God has taken each one of them on. Three different stories, but three stories of God breaking in to people's lives. And there are people who have gone looking and found out what they could and made their minds up that they absolutely, positively don't believe a word of it. And I may not agree with those people. Obviously, I don't agree with those people. But I do respect them because they've investigated it. They've found out. They've looked for answers to those questions. Have you ever noticed how the demanding things in life can squeeze out the really significant things in life? So many people go through their lives believing in the possibility of God. Yes, there probably is a God. He might be out there. I definitely believe something. But never finding out for sure. Oh, yeah, faith and God and Jesus and the meaning of life. I'll get around to it. Which is what I did until I was 17. But some of us, if we're honest, do it for much, much longer than that. I'll get around to it. And that's where I think Jesus was pretty blunt with this man in the passage I read. What he said was, don't get around to it. It's too important for that. Don't put it on the back burner. Don't assume that you'll look into it when you've finished your education or when the kids have grown up or when you've retired and got a little bit more time or some other time in the future. What Jesus was saying is the time is now. Like we sung a few minutes ago, this is the day. And if you know that you've put God on the back burner, if you've been saying to yourself, you know what, one day I'll get around to thinking a bit more seriously about faith. Yeah, I think there is something there, but one day I'll get around to it. I want to invite you to explore what really matters in life so you can make your mind up. I was talking to somebody really recently who has been a Christian for a number of years now, but his journey of faith started when he said to God, I'm going to give you 6 months. I'm going to go to church for 6 months and I'm going to see whether you seem to be real, because I'm just not sure, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to test it out and find out for myself. So he went to church for 6 months to find out and to see whether God turned out to be real, and he did. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, what the Bible means by that is don't just take some preacher's word for it. Find out for yourself. It's too important to leave it. It's too important to say, I'll get around to it one day. So why not try it? Come to church for 6 months. Find out whether it's real or not. Come and debate the things we say at the front with us. Come and ask the questions that you want to ask. Come and just be and see whether it's true and whether it makes sense or whether we're all just a little bit mad here. Find out. Find out for yourself. We won't sign you up or box you up or process you or rubber stamp you or ask you to take part or any of that stuff. Just come and find out. Or if you've got lots and lots of questions, we've got another Alpha course, which is what Bradley did and was really significant in his journey. That's a great place to come and ask your questions about Christianity and why Christians believe the things they do and why they do some of the strange things they do. And we'll answer the questions that we can, but sometimes the answer will be we have no idea why we do that strange thing. But find out. It's too important not to. Or it may be that you've already made your mind up. It may be that you know that it's true and you have still been putting off doing anything about it. And maybe today is the day for you as well, if that's you. Maybe it's the day to finally make that decision that you are going to follow Jesus with all of your heart. Or maybe it's the day to decide that you are going to get baptized. We've got another service coming up in December, but we'll do it sooner than that if you want. We would love to baptize you if that's what God's been saying to you. Take it from the world's worst procrastinator. Don't leave it for one day, because it is far too important for that. Today is the day. Let's pray together, can we? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you spoke straight truth to people. You didn't beat about the bush. And that sometimes that included being quite blunt. And thank you for your words to that man, saying, don't put it off for one day. Today is the day to nail your colours to the mast. Today is the day to take some action. And I want to pray today for anyone that you've been speaking to through this service, that today is the day that they need to find out for themselves whether you are real. They've seen their friends, they've seen their loved ones stand up here and talk about you as a real part of their lives. And inside, they're not yet sure whether that's true or not. And I want to pray for those people, that you would help them to take the decisions they need to take to find out for themselves, to come to their own decision as to whether you are real and worth following or not. But Lord, I pray that they would not leave it for one day. And Holy Spirit, I want you to come and visit anyone here who knows that Jesus is the Son of God, who knows that Jesus died for their sins, who knows that it is real and it is true, and yet who is putting off making a life-changing decision to follow you with all their heart. And if that's you, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right now of, I'm not going to ask you to do anything public, but I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment. And if that's you, just say amen at the end of it. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came to earth to show us how to live. And I believe that you died so that I could be forgiven and so that I could be adopted into the family of God. And I believe that you rose from the dead so that I could be set free from everything that suffocates my relationship with God. And so I choose today to give my life to you. Not half-heartedly, not in a one day I'll get around to it sense, but I am choosing today to make the decision to follow you. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you show me that my sins have been forgiven? And would you guide me day by day as I choose to live for you? Amen. Amen. And if you have prayed that prayer, and if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, we would absolutely love to chat with you afterwards, because your life has changed today, if that's the case. And if you want to have a conversation about how you can go about getting your questions answered and finding out for yourself whether it's all real,
I mean, either these three guys are bonkers, or there is a God that changes lives. There's no middle ground. If you want to find out about it, then do come and have a chat with us. We'd love to have that conversation.